Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well tonight, and what a blessing it's already been just being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Leviticus, third book of the Old Testament, chapter 17. On Sunday nights, we started a series on the divisions of the Bible, and because we need to know God's Word. If we have God's Word, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, then we need to learn it and know about it. The Bible, from Genesis all the way through the book of Revelations, is God's revealed word for His church, for His people today. And you don't add to it and you don't take away from it. Every word that's found in this King James English Version Bible from Genesis to Revelation is the final authority. It is the very words that God would have us to read and study and understand and live by. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "Now all these things happened unto them," talking about the Old Testament saints, "for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." And so the Old Testament does play a part in New Testament Christianity. And we are to learn from the Old Testament stories and learn from the examples of God's chosen people in the Old Testament. Now, we're not under the law anymore, but yet it's there for a purpose to bring us to the understanding of what Christ established when He came. Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament, not to do away with it. He fulfilled it. He was the prophecy being fulfilled, what was prophesied in the Old Testament. And so what are we doing with God's Word? That's what we've looked at, is what are we doing with God's Word? I trust that if you're a born-again believer, then you have a desire to know it. You have to have a desire to know that what you believe in your Christian faith is not based upon a denomination. It's not based upon what the preacher says. It's not based upon what I've been taught at home. It's based upon the very words of God. And if you know it is based upon the words of God, then you will not vary from that. You'll stay put, and you'll be that Christian that God would have you to be. If we think it's from somebody else and somebody else goes astray, then we'll go astray. And it's sad when that happens, but it happens all the time. So this idea, there's three thoughts on the Bible. And the first of all, you need to learn to love the words of God. Yeah. Love the words of God. If it's God's love letter to us, and we need to love to read it and read it to understand it. We need to learn from it. We need to learn from it, allow it to mold us. And then we need to live by it. Base our convictions upon the very words that have been preserved by God for us today. And so because of that, then we're going through the divisions. And the first division is the Pentateuch. It's that Pentateuch just simply means five. And it's the first five books. These are listed as, and many people look at these as, the books of Moses or the book of the law. But it's the foundation of the Bible. Genesis, the foundation of all the Bible. I mean, if you can't believe Genesis, then you can't base your beliefs on the Bible. The book of creation, the book of the beginnings, where God has chosen how God established things and how God has chosen His people. He chose the nation of Israel. He chose Abraham, who would become the father of the nation of Israel, to be His chosen people. And then the Exodus, once they were established in the land of Egypt, now the way out of Egypt is through the Lord. And we've been able to study that and then compare that to what the New Testament teaches as well. Now after Exodus comes Leviticus. Now Leviticus is one of the books of the Bibles that I would not encourage anyone to start out reading. That's not the book that you want to just say, "Oh, I'm going to open the Bible up wherever it falls. That's what I'm going to start reading." That's not a good way to read the Bible. It really is not. If you're young in your Christianity, read the New Testament. Read the four Gospels, the life of Christ. That's easy literature. It's any child can understand. If a child can read with any type of understanding, they can read and understand the Gospels, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which tell the life of Jesus Christ. And everyone needs to first and foremost learn what Christ was like in order to be like Christ. And so don't go to the Old Testament. Don't go to the book of Revelation. That's the things people do. They want to go to the book of Revelation, one of the most confusing books in all the Bible. Okay? Or they want to go to the Old Testament. Listen to me. That's fine. It's there for a purpose. But let's get grounded first. Let's get grounded in your Christianity. The New Testament church based on the New Testament. And it was established by the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand that, okay? Start reading there first of all. And then once you have a good understanding of the New Testament church and the New Testament teachings of Christ, then you can look back in the Old Testament and you can understand at least where we get Christianity today. It's a fulfillment of the Old Testament. It's a fulfillment of the Old Testament. No book of the Bible is going to help you to see that more than the book of Leviticus. Now, we don't have time. It's not an exhaustive study. I'm going to go through the entire book in one service tonight, and hopefully it's not going to be that long of a service. But I think it will be a service that will help you to understand why we have the book of Leviticus and how that is seen, the teachings of the book of Leviticus is seen in the New Testament teachings of Christ. And so go ahead. I want to turn you to this verse, chapter 17. I'm just going to read one verse. Go ahead and stand with me if you will. Verse 11. Because this is one of the key verses of the book of Leviticus in understanding this book. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11 says this, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." The blood is key, okay? The blood of Jesus Christ, New Testament, I mean, it is key. You can't get saved without it. You can't be reconciled to God without it. The blood, without it, you can't live, physical or spiritual life. So, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. That's key to understanding the book of Leviticus. Let's pray and we'll get into it. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for your holy word. And for God putting a love within us in Christ for the very words of God. And I pray tonight, God, that we would grow in our love for the word of God and grow in our understanding of it as well. Empower and bless the preaching of thy word once again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Leviticus shows us the way into the sanctuary of God. Or if you will, it shows us the way into God's presence. Do you really want to know when you pray that God hears your prayer? Do you want to understand how an almighty creator God, when you stop and think about what God has done and how the Bible presents to us the person of God the Father? Wow. A God that's powerful enough to breathe the worlds into existence. A God that created everything that has been created, both visible and invisible. And a God that loves little old me. Amen. I mean, what an awesome thought when you think about God. But then being able to come into His presence and be able to communicate with God. Have that kind of a powerful friend. Amen. I'm just stopping thinking about that ought to do something for us. Leviticus, the definition of Leviticus pertaining to the Levites. Pertaining to the Levites. The Levites, a very important tribe in the Old Testament. Moses and Aaron were from the tribe of Levi. Okay, they would be considered Levites. Aaron and his sons were set apart for the priesthood. This office was a birthright. Now it's important. If you were born as a Levite, then you were born with a birthright to be a priest. Now not all of them were, but it was the priesthood. It was the tribe of Levi that would take care of the tabernacle, to take care of all the things pertaining to the presence of God for the people. And so we find here, it was a birthright. Levites were responsible for the transportation. No other tribe could even touch the transportation of the tabernacle. They were to stay away from that. Only the tribe of Levi, okay, were to transport the tabernacle, and they were to care for the tabernacle. That was their birthright. In the New Testament, we find that our birthright today, once you get saved, your birthright as a born-again child of God is a priesthood of all believers. So if you will, you're somewhat like out of the tribe of Levi. Because what they were responsible for doing is much of what you and I can identify with as born-again believers. 1 Peter chapter 2, and if I go too fast, just write it down so that you can understand this. And as you go back through the book of Leviticus, reading it, I think it'll make more sense to you when you have the outline that I'm giving you tonight. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation," New Testament church, "a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people," everything that Israel was to be, "that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You were living in darkness, separated by sin from the presence of God, having no hope of ever having everlasting life, no connection to God. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. You received Jesus Christ, and you are given as a gift this position as the priesthood of all believers. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 and 51, the veil rent from the top to the bottom, making access possible to God Himself. Amen. The chief privilege of a priest is access to God. And let me just give you some verses. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1, verse 11 and 12, 15, and chapter 10, verse 19 and 25 reveal to us the chief privilege of a born-again believer is we have access to God. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to and are not even encouraged to think about having to go through a pastor to get to God. Because if you're saved, you can go to God on your own. Amen. And what made that possible is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That blood, remember that. That's what allows us to be saved, allows us to be of a priesthood of believers, is the blood of Jesus Christ. It saves us. And when you get saved, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now you have Jesus as an intercessor between you and God. We go to God through Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. But we can come into the very presence of God. There's three divisions in the book of Leviticus. Okay, understanding those things. The three divisions. The first is the first 10 chapters. The first 10 chapters of the book of Leviticus is God's provisions for sin. God's provisions for sin. You're going to find here chapters 1 through 7, sacrifices for all types of sins. I mean, you go through there and it just names all of them. I mean, it takes a while to go through there to try to understand. I realize this was back in that day. And so the sins of that day are different from the sins of today, but it is sin. It is that which would be opposite God's will for your life. And what they would do back then, there would be different sins. There would be different types of sacrifices for different types of sin. There were burnt offerings. There were meat offerings. There were sin offerings. There was trespass offerings, peace offerings. But all of it had to do, if you will, with understanding chapter 17 and verse 11, the blood. The importance of the blood. God required death as a penalty for sin. And the only way that we could have that sin debt paid was through the blood. And so you'll find as you start going through the book of Leviticus, the first 10 chapters, God's provisions for sin. The first 7 chapters, sacrifices for all types of sin. Now, all of these sacrifices was made by Jesus Christ. One sacrifice for sins forever. Once he paid that, then that took in all the sacrifices. Not you didn't have to list everything and all every type of sin. It's all under the blood now. That helps us to even know why we sing some of the songs we sing. It's under the blood. chapters 8 through 10, chapters 8, 9, and 10, now we have the sacrifices and the different types of sacrifices. The duty of the priests were to present those. The people would bring the sacrifices to the priest. The priest would offer those sacrifices on the altar. As a matter of fact, go to chapter 8 with me. Chapter 8, Leviticus chapter 8. The priests were consecrated unto the Lord to be able to be an intercessor, a go-between. When the people would bring their sacrifices to the priests were consecrated unto the Lord to take of the sacrifice and offer the sacrifice. Chapter 8 and verse 1 through 6. Here the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments and the anointing oil and the bullock for the sin offerings, and two rams and a basket of unleavened bread. And gather thou all the congregation together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the assembly was gathered together into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses said unto the congregation, "This is a thing which the Lord commanded to be done." Now God had a plan. God knew what the future held. He knew that His Son would come and that He would establish New Testament Christianity, but He's preparing humanity for that very thing. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. Now to look down to verse 30. It says, "And Moses took of the anointing oil and the blood which was upon the altar and sprinkled it upon Aaron and upon his garments and upon his son's garment with him, and sanctified Aaron and his garments and his son's garment with him." So God says, "I'm going to choose Aaron's sons, and these would be the priests that the people would bring their offering to." And so the priests were consecrated unto the Lord to be able to represent God to the people. Can I tell you, when you get saved in this New Testament church age, because we have this office of a priesthood, the priesthood of all believers, then God says, you're not your own anymore. To understand that, you have to understand what God did with the priests in the Old Testament, the sons of Aaron. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let me just read it to you, write it down, because this is how it applies to you and I today. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 7, verse 19 and 20. Chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. "And what? Know ye not your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." The blood of Jesus Christ cleansed you and made you one of God's children. One of God's priests, if you will, because of the priesthood of all believers. In chapter 9 of Leviticus, in chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, they made intercession for the people. They made intercession for the people. Chapter 9, verse 6, "And Moses said, This is a thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. And Moses said unto Aaron, Go unto the altar and offer the sin offering and the burnt offering, and make an atonement for thyself and for the people, and offer the offering of the people, and make an atonement for them as the Lord commanded." This atonement meant it was an intercessor. They were to be intercessors between them and God. Now today, we have the great high priest, which is the intercessor between man and God. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, and again, you can write this down, but 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, that is the man, Christ Jesus." So Jesus Christ became the great high priest. And so he came, and when he paid the sin debts for all humanity, then the veil was rent, and we find that because of that, then through him, as we receive Him as our Savior, then we become the priests under Him. And we have access to God through Jesus Christ. Amen. The duty of the priest, the understanding, the responsibility of the priest, and the duty of the priest. Once we come back to Leviticus and you look beyond that, in chapters 11, verse 24, we find that God instructs their separation. God gives them instructions for how they were to be separated, how they were to be holy unto the Lord because of what they represented. They would be able to represent God to the people. The people would go to them and they would handle the things of God. Chapters 11 through 15, we find that it gives the law of purity. God says, this is clean, this is unclean. Chapters 18 to 20, the laws of separation. Okay? This would help them to be healthy and avoid diseases. Every commandment that God had for His people had a positive benefit to it. It wasn't just to put restrictions on them, but every time God would command, it might restrict them, but the restriction was for their own good, to help them. And so we find that there's the laws of purity, the laws of separation, and then the understanding of the priesthood was a holy priesthood. And they needed to know that. If they were of the tribe of Levi, then they were of a tribe of holiness. If you're saved, you have to realize that God expects us to be holy. Look right here, Leviticus chapter 21. Chapter 21. Chapter 21 and verse 6. The Bible says, be holy, for I am holy. If you're going to represent God, then you have to understand that there is a separation from the things that are unholy. And then there needs to be that which is holy brought into our lives. And so chapter 21 and verse 6 says this, they shall be holy unto their God, and not profane the name of their God. For the offerings of the Lord made by fire and the bread of their God they do offer, therefore they shall be holy. If you're dealing with the tabernacle, if you're dealing with the temple, if you're dealing with God's work, then He says, because you represent God, you have to sanctify yourself. You have to look to lead a different life than the world. Somewhat like salt, different. Somewhat like light that Jesus would teach on. Chapter 22 and verse 3 says this, say unto them, whosoever he be of all your seed among your generations that goeth unto the holy things which the children of Israel hallow unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, that soul shall be cut off from my presence. If one of them tried to do the work and there was unholiness in him, there was something that was in him that God was not pleased with, God would take his life. He wouldn't allow him to continue to live as representing the tribe of the Levites. But if they would try to do their work and have sin in their life and unholiness in their life, then God would take their life. That's what he says, right? Having his uncleanness upon him, that soul shall be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord. So it's a holy priesthood. We have a priesthood of believers, but that priesthood of believers is somewhat understood by in more detail as you read the book of Leviticus. And you see what God determined and what God had them to do. If they were of the tribe of Levi, then they would have to understand these things and the purpose of their existence. Chapter 23 and verse 24, holy days were to be honored. They would set the example and they would honor these holy days, and the rest of the congregation of Israel would also follow in their lead. Chapters 23, verses 1 through 3. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest and a holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is a Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. If you remember, Jesus said that he was Lord of the Sabbath. There was still importance on the days that God would have established for Israel. But Jesus says, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. So in having being Lord of the Sabbath, then everything was put into him. Every holy day, everything that was a day that was be set aside. Now it's all focused on Christ. This New Testament church age, it's all focused on what Christ has established. Holy day is still important. As you serve God, you have to understand the importance of what Christ established. As he's Lord of the Sabbath, then he has established the first day of the week as the Lord's day. If you understand how important it was in the Old Testament, when you study how important it was and the penalties for even picking up sticks on the Sabbath day, you start reading some of this and say, wow, you know, look at all this and look how they would be taken care of and look how they would be punished and all for just picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. Yes, because it was an example. And once you when you read that and you understand what was expected of them on these holy days, you can understand what God expects of us on Sunday. Yeah. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I trust it's helping you putting it together, understanding what the book of Leviticus teaches. Now, there's so much more to it. I'm just highlighting. I'm just trying to help you, and that's why I'm trying to, you know, get through highlighting it, but helping you to see when you read the book of Leviticus, that's what it's pointing to. Colossians in chapter 2 and verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or the Sabbath days. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. He said, put all these into one lesson. Put all these days, all the holy days and all the different Sabbaths. There was more than one Sabbath. The Sabbath day basically is Saturday, but there was more than one Sabbath as you study the Old Testament scriptures. And you find all these different special days that they were to have and holy days they were to honor. God says all of these, read them, study them in the Old Testament. See how important they were. But now put all those together and place it on Christ. I think if you understand that as a born-again believer, you might not just stay in bed on Sunday. You might not just decide, well, I'm going to work today because I need a little more money. You might decide, well, I don't think I'm going to go to the lakes. I think God really wants me to go to church. If you would read the Old Testament and understand all those things, then you're going to be a better Christian. You're going to be able to do more of what God would have you to do. And you're going to see the importance in this New Testament church age of making sure when the church doors are open, if I can be there, I'm going to be there. Amen. Not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Because it's important. If you didn't have that in the Old Testament, you might not see the importance of it. But when you understand what the Old Testament says about it, it will help you to better understand the importance of the New Testament, Lord's Day. And then lastly here tonight, Leviticus chapter 25 through the end of the book in chapter 27, God's promises for success. Before we get out of the book of Leviticus, God wants, after he's given them all the different laws and all the different things, all the things what they should do, shouldn't do, all the different sacrifices that were supposed to be made, and when you do this sin, you do this, and if you have this amount of money, you do this, and it all, I mean, it just covers a gamut of things as you go through and study all that. But before we get through that, in chapters 26, I want you to see this, verses 1 through 7. And I think this is what it comes down to. Verse 1, ye shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Now, I love that because he says, don't treat me as a dead statue. Don't get to this ritualistic type of worship. I'm alive. Talk to me as you would a live person, not as somebody that's dead. Bow down to me as someone who is alive instead of a statue made of stone or wood carved by man's hands. God says, I don't want you to think of me that way. So don't make any idols. Don't bow down to any images. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land. And ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Wow, what a great blessing. What a great way to live life. We can still have that today. Yeah. Around us, there's going to be turmoil. Around us, there's going to be fighting. Around us, there's going to be every evil thing until we get into that millennial reign of Christ. But if we would just learn to follow God's word and follow God's ways, that we can have his blessings. Yeah. They could have continued in that. If you read on and you read the history of Israel, we'll get through with all that. But it's when they turned against God is when God had to take his protective hand off. And when God takes his protective hand off, Satan is always there to destroy. And this right here is exactly what we find in James. And we'll close with this, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. If we would just do what he says. Now, Jesus would teach his disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you want. I'll give it. I'll do it for you. I mean, he so many times Jesus gave that very same instruction. But James, I think, writes it in a way that we can best understand it. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. And straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, listen right here, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The book of Leviticus, the way into the sanctuary of God. What God expects in order to have his blessings. And his blessings, when you know who he is what we all should desire. The way into the presence of an almighty God. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Leviticus. Tough book if you just go into it with no understanding and try to read it. But when you understand what it's there for, why God has preserved it for us, it makes New Testament Christianity what it is. Helps us to understand the importance of what God would have us, how Jesus Christ established His church, and how Jesus Christ established a Christian life, the importance of it. Tonight, maybe there's an emptiness in your life. Could be that you're not saved. Like I said, in order to have that love of God in you, you have to have Christ in you. And that Christ in you will make a difference in all the relationships of life. You'll be able to do what the Bible tells you to do. If you don't have Christ in you, maybe tonight, truly confess Jesus as Lord. Receive Him as your Savior. Maybe you've kind of strayed away. Can't have God's blessings living outside of His will. No matter how much you want to convince yourself that you can and have them, you cannot. Satan can appear as an angel of light. He can make you think it's God's blessings. God does not bless rebellion. Won't you come back to Him? Whatever it might be, if God spoke to you tonight, now's the time to respond. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. I pray right now for this invitation that You would just meet with us, speak to each one, and Lord, help each one to make the decisions that they might need to make tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.